He's Darrell Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. I got to tell you, when I found out this morning that we were filling in for Ken and Anthony, I was super excited when I saw that Dane Brugler was on the list from The Athletic. He has the beast, and man, he knows what's going on when it comes to what we're just talking about what's going to happen with guys coming out from college that are going to make it into the NFL. Dane is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Dane, always a pleasure to talk to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Good morning, guys.
Good morning to you. All right, I'm going to start right here with something that I just think is super interesting. When I'm watching Ohio State play in the national championship, I'm watching them all season long. I'm looking at the defense, and not to mention they've got two running backs that could have an impact in the draft too. But the defense, you're talking about maybe 9 of the 11 guys that have the opportunity to probably play in the NFL next year. Just kind of give me your gist on Ohio State and some of these guys that we could be seeing coming up in the draft.
I'm sure we have. I mean, it's unbelievable.
We could go 4 hours. If you want to go 4 hours on this, Dane, I'd be happy to talk to you about it for 4. I'm just kidding.
I mean, to properly give Ohio State its due in terms of NFL talent, we might need it. I mean, they're very likely going to set the record for draft picks in a single draft, the modern-day record. It's 15. Georgia set that a couple of years ago. I think a conservative number is probably going to be around 16, maybe more. Depends on some of the underclassmen. Like, what does Sonny Styles do? The really talented linebacker who I think would really benefit from another year. But, you know, coming off a national title, some of these guys might feel like, all right, this is the time to make that jump. But, a lot of these seniors would have been drafted last year. We know that. Look at the entire defensive line. All those guys have a chance to be top 100 picks in a few months. What Cody Simon did this year, if he's in last year's draft, borderline draft pick, but he comes back and just totally reinvents his draft stock. Now he's probably somewhere in the top 5 rounds. And then in the secondary, the only guy that's not going to get drafted is the best player of the entire defense, Caleb Downs. So it's really impressive to, you know, first of all, that they paid it off and they won it all, but just the amount of talent they have on this roster and really both sides of the ball. It's, like I said, it's going to be a record-breaking class for the Buckeyes.
What did Will Howard do for his draft stock?
Certainly didn't hurt it. Look, the whole reason Ohio State went into the transfer portal and moved on from Kyle McCord is because they wanted more mobility, right? And I think that that really showed throughout the year with Will Howard. And was he perfect? Of course not. But for a guy that had less than a year in the program to come in and get better throughout the season, I think that really stands out and showed that he was a really good fit for what they wanted to do. You know, RPO-based offense, a lot of design rollouts, waggles, just try to move that launch point and really give those routes an extra beat to get open. And he executed it really well. I think what stands out the most with Will Howard is the mental toughness. If you're going to play quarterback in the NFL, failure is part of the job description. And you have to be mentally tough. You have to be able to bounce back. And that against the Penn State, on the Penn State tape, throwing that pick 6 in the first drive and then to bounce back the next drive and lead a touchdown, that right there is like, okay, there's something to this guy where most guys are going to wilt under that kind of pressure on the road, your home state school, to go out and make that type of mistake. To bounce back is really impressive. And then we saw it throughout the playoffs. The Michigan game obviously wasn't great, but that's not all on Will Howard. There's a lot of factors there. But the run they went on in the playoff, Will Howard was a big part of that. And I think you see the physical traits, the size, the mobility, not an A-plus arm, but a good enough arm. And then his accuracy. The decision-making can be a little bit up and down. Sometimes he'll predetermine what he's doing, and that'll lead to mistakes. But for the most part, he's taking care of the football, and that mobility aspect only helps. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at a guy that before the year was probably in that 5th, 6th round range. Now he's got a chance to go on day 2.
Dane, how many first-rounders do you think Ohio State has?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because the guy that might be drafted first is probably the player that we didn't see a lot because he was injured, and that's Josh Simmons, the left tackle, who went down with that non-con knee injury against Oregon. But, you know, as long as he is fully healthy, and obviously we'll find that out at the combine, as long as the knee's fully healthy, he could be the first offensive lineman off the board. So we'll see what happens with Josh Simmons. It's not a great wide receiver class. So Emeka Ebuka, who has mostly second round grades, good chance he goes in the first round. And then, you know, I think, you know, you look at the defensive line, JTT, to me, he's the better prospect of the two defensive ends. Jack Sawyer, very good player. He's going to be off the board in the top 60. But Tui Malo, he has just a little bit more with what NFL teams are looking for. I think he has a chance to go in the first round. And then Tyleek Williams, one of the better run-defending defensive tackles this year. He makes a difference. He's what a lot of teams are looking for to shore up their run defense in the middle. So when I named four players right there, I think that is a conservative number, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. I think the other thing, and as you know, as we start talking about the Browns in the draft, too, look, they're probably going to draft a running back, and I think it's going to be interesting to see who goes first between Trevion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins, because both those guys can bring something to the table for any NFL team that they're going to play. Just your thoughts on those two guys and their impact they could have in the NFL, and could they be prospects for the Browns?
Yeah, and I think it's less about who is better and more about what kind of style are you looking for, because all these guys are different. You know, it's like we talk about wide receivers and we rank them, and meanwhile, these guys are all so different. You know, a 6'4", 210-pound X is not the same as a 5'11", speedy slot receiver. So even though we're ranking these guys in the same bucket, they're very different with what they offer, and teams are going to look at these guys differently because of what they already have on the roster and what they're trying to build for their scheme. So it's the same thing with running backs. You know, you do have some guys like obviously Ashton Jeanty at the top, who it doesn't matter what scheme or what type of running back you're looking for, he's going to be a fit for whatever you want to do. But for some of these other guys, especially on day two, Quinshon Judkins, Trevion Henderson, the list goes on. The running back is the deepest position we have this year. I mean, there are legitimate 30 running backs with draftable grades this year. Not all 30 are going to get drafted, which means we're going to have a ton of steals on day three and then into free agency. But this is a really good running back class if you have a need there and you want to get better. So I think that, yeah, there's a good chance we're going to see the Browns look at a running back, maybe even on day two. And that's where I think both Trevion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins will go. Henderson, he's more of the – if you want to get him out in space, that open field vision, let him use his speed. Judkins, more of a between-the-tackles grinder, doesn't have the same type of speed, but not a slug either by any means. So, yeah, both these guys are going to be in the NFL next year and have a chance to be a productive part of a really productive group of running backs that I think we're going to be talking about this group for a long time. That's how deep it is in the draft.
Dane Brugler of The Athletic, also the author of The Beast, also known as My Draft Bible, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dane, I have concerns about the Browns' ability to find a franchise quarterback in this draft. With that number two pick, I have questions about Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. Are they worthy of such a selection? Where do you fall on the Ward and Sanders conversation? Is it more hype or is it more substance in that they can be franchise quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's a difficult discussion because, you know, if these guys were in last year's draft, they're fighting it out for quarterback 7 and 8. You know, like it's just last year's quarterback class was so much better than what we have this year. But it's also pretty light at the top in terms of high end talent. So, you know, if you look at Cam Ward and say, okay, I think he can be an NFL starter, which I do, you know, you can talk yourself into taking him early. But I think it's just about getting it right, you know, and when you look at these quarterbacks, if you are able to convince yourself that, hey, look what he offers. We think that he can be an NFL starter. We feel like he can help us compete for divisions. Then you have to take a long look at that. And if I had a bet on one of these quarterbacks, it would be Cam Ward, just because he's gotten better every year. You know, he's in a wing T offense in high school, goes to Incarnate Word in Washington State, then Miami, and you see improvement, development every single part of his journey. But, you know, he still plays way too loose compared to what I want from the quarterback position. And that's part of his development and getting better and taking better care of the football. But he's elusive in the pocket. He creates explosive plays. There's definitely something there. So if I had a bet on one of these quarterbacks, it would be Cam Ward. You know, I'm not a big Shedeur Sanders fan. I do think that he can potentially start in this league. But the way he plays, he just doesn't really have the physical traits that I'm looking for to maximize what I want from my quarterback position. I think a lot of teams are going to look at this quarterback class and say, you know what, we're going to get our, let's get our tackle in the top 10. Let's get our pass rusher in the top 10. And we'll wait to day two to get a quarterback, which you don't usually hear in most drafts. But, you know, you look at some of the quarterbacks on day two, whether it's, you know, a flyer on Jalen Milroe or, you know, a guy like Will Howard, Kyle McCord, Tyler Shuck, Quinn Ewers, Jackson Dart. You know, there are some interesting quarterback names where you're not paying premium price, and it's not going to stop you from going and drafting a quarterback in the first round next year if that's what's going to be best for your offense. So I just, this is going to be a really interesting, in most years you say, you know what, quarterback desperation, teams are going to take these guys early. I'm just not convinced that's how it's going to be. This might be more like the Kenny Pickett year where all through the draft process, people were saying, oh, they're going to go. These quarterbacks are going to go. Malik Willis, he's going to go number two to the Lions. And, you know, but this year, I wouldn't be surprised if we see it a little more spread out. You know, maybe Cam Ward still goes one. You know, maybe he goes three to the Giants. You never, you know, with the Raiders at six, who knows what they're going to do. You know, the Steelers could be in the mix if they look to trade up. So it's going to be really interesting, these quarterbacks at the top, because it's not as simple as last year where obviously these guys are going to go one, two, three. It's just a matter of the order they're going to go. That's not the case this year. I think it's perfectly understandable for you to have reservations about this group.
My worst fear is the Browns take a quarterback at two. So they did elevate Tommy Reese to be their offensive coordinator. Everybody wants to put the eyes now on Alabama's Jalen Monroe and tying them together that, you know, because they elevated Reese, they're going to go for Monroe. Just what is your take on what you've seen from him and his prospects?
I don't use the word special lightly when it comes to draft prospects, but he is a special athlete. 6'1", 225 pounds. He's going to run in the 4.3s. And when you see that speed up close and personal, it just hits different. And so now, obviously, speed is not the number one reason you should be drafting a quarterback, but it's part of his package of skills. He has a rocket arm. And I think teams are really encouraged by just the makeup of the person, the player. I mean, just super smart guy, the way, how disciplined he is as a person, you know, coming from a military family and all that. Like, he's the type of guy you want in your locker room. It's just, okay, do you feel confident that you can develop his passing skills? So, you know, his footwork is repeatable. You're not making his receivers work for the football. You know, I'm down here in Dallas for the East-West Shrine game all week, and then I'm going to Mobile from here, and Milroe's going to be at the Senior Bowl. And that'll be a big opportunity for him just to show consistency. He's not going to be a guy that comes in from day one and is the savior for your team. Like, that's not the expectation here. The expectation would be you draft him in the second round, like Jalen Hurts, and you give him 2-3 years to develop, and you just hope to see progress over that time. And can he do it? It's certainly a possible outcome, but, you know, it's a fork in the road, and, you know, we'll see, you know, what type of coaching he gets. But even, regardless of where Jalen Milroe ends up, hopefully that fan base doesn't think it's going to be, you know, a quick fix, because it's going to take time for him to develop and get him to where you want him to be a consistent NFL starter.
Dane, I got about a minute. Play Andrew Berry for me. Are you drafting a quarterback at two? And what would you do with that pick?
If Cam Ward's available at two, I'm definitely thinking about it. We're having long conversations about how he fits in the offense we want to run and, you know, is he worth it? But at the end of the day, I'm probably landing on the top non-quarterback on my board. We have the number two pick. We have a chance to get arguably the best player in the draft. So whether that's Travis Hunter from Colorado or Abdul Carter from Penn State, I'm getting one of those two guys. And my defense is immediately better. We feel like we have a cornerstone type of player that we can build around, and we feel like we're really maximizing the number two pick in the draft.
Dane, what's the deal with the Beast? How can we get it?
Have to have a subscription to The Athletic. It's going to be digital and PDF this year. A lot of cool things. A lot of resources behind it this year, even more so than past years. So I'm excited to release that here right around April 1st. And so we're getting closer and closer.
All right. Thanks for educating all of us, Dane. I appreciate it. I know when we take a look through it, we're always like, man, he does a lot of work on this thing. Thank you, Dane.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right. Dane Brugler from The Athletic. He's got the Beast. You heard it. You want all the inside scoop.
Going to be in an NFL front office someday. I'm convinced of it.
Good stuff. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's a Bible. No, it really, really is.
Nobody scouts college talent better than Dane Brugler in our business.